everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us. It's Ariel and
Raylene. What up?
2024 edition.
So exciting. Woo. I'm really pumped. Woo. I'm really pumped. For people who are watching the video, you'll see I have a new camera angle. New year, new me. And I put a bunch of this stuff up on the wall yesterday, so it might look crazy. But
I'm really excited to see it because obviously Raylene and I can see each other when we record, but I can't exactly see what her camera can see.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's going to look really nice.
It's really fun because usually I'm recording from a different angle and get flipped, as I'm sure everybody notices who watches the video. My video is backwards. So now you're seeing the real me. You're seeing me the way I look in real life. It's great.
We had a little meeting a couple of days ago that was sort of a 2024, the podcast is here. What do we want to switch up? What do we want to look at? We looked at your stats again that you guys sent us because we asked you some questions about the podcast and everything. And CJ, who edits the podcast, my brother, was at this meeting because he's basically our producer. Like, he's the one who tells us, like, you guys are not talking loud enough, or I can hear this, or you need to fix this. And it's really, really helpful. Mm-hmm. And he's honestly had some of the best ideas for the podcast.
I know, seriously. Because he listens to the podcast. We don't listen to what...
That's the thing.
Like, we don't necessarily listen to it.
So, yeah, we're here, but then, like, afterwards, he's the one who's actually making it a good show. Yeah. And he said to Raylene, like, do you think it would be possible if you could film from the other perspective? Because right now I have to flip your thing backwards. And I wasn't sure, like, I didn't know what your reaction to that was going to be, really. And, like, this is going to be impossible. Like, my office is set up in a certain way. Yeah. Like, what, I didn't know. But her reaction was so funny because Raylene was like, this is a number one priority. I hate that everyone sees me backwards. I feel like they're not seeing the real me.
And also, I'm wondering, like, was my right side my bad side this whole time, and now you guys are seeing my beautiful side? I don't know.
Right.
It's kind of cool.
Now, well, now they see the truth.
This is the truth, for good or for bad.
This is the real truth.
Whatever it is. And my room isn't as bland looking as it used to look in the videos. Like, I do have things on the walls. You just can't see them. They're all in front of me.
So really, for me, can you point at the closet?
The closet's over there.
Okay, so things really changed.
Things have really changed. My desk is in the exact same spot, but I reversed everything about
everything.
It. Everything is backwards.
Very interesting.
I love it. I'm really excited.
All right, well, the first episode of the year is this one technically, but I mean technically, our last episode did come out on January 1st, but we recorded it at the end of December.
Yeah.
So this is like we're back. We're like dusting the cobwebs off of the old situation. Yeah. I'm currently not at home. I'm in Halifax because one of our friends had their birthday this past weekend. And so we came into town to celebrate. And that was a lot of fun. God, actually, let me tell you though, really, I had an ordering nightmare at a restaurant. Okay. So first of all, there was, I think, 14 of us at this big long dinner table for a birthday party.
Okay.
And already it's a slightly stressful situation when you have that many people
ordering.
Yeah, I was
going to say, that sounds terrifying.
It was, So I started it off right by ordering a margarita. I was like, listen, we're at a party. I'm going to have a margarita. Mm-hmm. I'm not driving. I'm having a margarita. So I didn't realize, though, that it was a frozen blended margarita. Ooh, okay. And it came in, like, the whole giant margarita cup. And I was like, oh, God. Okay.
You're like, yeah.
Okay, when I can lean in.
On vacation in Mexico kind of vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
But at a restaurant.
Exactly. So all the drinks come out, and then they start to order food. And they come to me, and I'm almost, like, the last person that they were getting their order from. So there was two before me. And he orders the beef melt. And that's what I wanted to order. Yeah. I wanted to order this like sandwich that you dip in gravy.
Yeah,
and it's a beef dip, basically. And it's basically a beef dip with cheese. And I love them. And I haven't had one in ages. I saw it on the menu. And it was in their like favorites specialty section. So I was like, oh, it's going to be delicious. And then the guy orders it. And the waiter says, I'm sorry, you can't order that. And I audibly went, oh, what? And then he's looking at him and at me at the same time. He's like, I'm so sorry. We're completely out of beef.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, okay, this is a devastating blow. Oh, my God. And now you're doing that thing where I'd already, I knew what I wanted to order. I already felt settled. I had a plan. Now I'm frazzled. Now I'm like, okay, oh my God. Well, I had a backup plan, but I got to reread what that is. And now I've got to pick out sides and I didn't have to do that before. I'm like a little flustered, but he comes to me and I'm like, okay. He's like, I'm sorry, we don't have the beef melt, but is there something else? Like, have you found something else? And I'm like, yes. Can I please order the wings and ribs?
Okay.
And he goes, no.
We're out of chicken too. And pork.
I'm like, ah, and he goes, and at this point, the whole table is now listening to this, and I'm like embarrassed, and he's like, I'm sorry, we're completely out of ribs. We run out of ribs every single night.
What?
And it's so funny, too, because I don't usually order beef anywhere out, but this restaurant specialized in it, and everyone else was ordering steak, and I don't like steak, but I was like, I want to participate in what everyone's doing, so I'll order. Yeah. And everything I'm trying to order is messing up. I'm not going to lie, it was a bit of a nightmare. And then I was like, that's okay. That's not your fault. I'm ordering the wrong thing. He's like, we should have ribs. I'm like, it's okay.
It's fine.
And then I just look down and the first thing I see, I'm like, nachos. Can I get nachos? And he's like, yes. And I was like, okay. So everyone else was having like these fancy steaks and everything. And I'm just there with nachos and a blended margarita.
You're just the biggest fool. I love that image. That makes a lot of sense.
A silly, silly moment. I will say it was like a surf and turf place. So the three people next to me all ordered like lobster stuff. And they had bibs on.
Oh, okay.
Like they had like the whole plastic bibs on. So I did not look the silliest of the night, but I just felt it was such a flustering experience.
Oh, man.
How have you been?
Pretty good. I mean, like you said, it's been a while since we've like been together and recorded, so we haven't talked on live on the pod since the new year has actually started. So I wanted to let the people know that on January 1st, I roller skated.
Yeah!
I went out. The weather was beautiful, so I was like, this is perfect. This is all I need to get me out there roller skating. And so I did. I went out there, I put my knee pads on, put my elbow pads on, and skated around. And
I love that.
It was so fun. And like, I texted Ariel about it. And the first thing you said was, the curse is lifted. Because I've been like trying to roller skate for at least 2 years now. I bought these skates and I just keep not doing it. And so I feel like the curse really is lifted. And my plan was to go out again today.
Feels
but
good.
As I look out the window, it is snowing.
Okay.
So I'm not going to do that today.
So maybe not.
Unfortunately, there's no like indoor place around here. I might have to do some digging, find an old gym or something that I can skate in.
There might be something. Like, I know, God, I mean, this was a long time ago, but I used to live somewhere that had an indoor track and people, like, it was like for running, but I swear to God, I saw people doing skating, like inline skating once.
Yeah,
so
I'm definitely
maybe there's
look into
something
it
like
because
that.
I think that skating inside would be better for me in general too, just because the concrete is so bumpy. So it's not the best.
Yeah, it's never actually that smooth.
It's not great.
Yeah.
So, but anyway. I'm really happy that I did it. And
I'm so proud of you,
I'm
man.
Really
I'm
excited.
So proud of you.
I've started watching like roller skating videos on YouTube that are like to kind of teach you the basics because I want to get really good at just basic skating and then I want to learn how to dance on wheels. That's my ultimate goal. That's what I want to learn how to do.
That's the dream.
I just want to be cool,
so cool,
you know? I think it'll be so cool when I can do that.
So cool.
But on top of that, kind of following my goal of not reading too much, I also have gotten really into crochet. And I crocheted something for you, so I'm not going to tell you what that is yet because you'll get it eventually. But I made you something really cute that you'll have to show on the podcast when it gets there. But I also made something for myself. I made myself this little bandana.
Oh my God, it's so cute.
And I filmed a little B-roll of me wearing it, so that'll show up in the video now too. But yeah,
cute.
It's just this really cute little bandana that I made with some yarn that I got at the thrift store. So I felt really good about doing that. And now
I love that project.
I'm ready to, do you want a bandana? I can make you a bandana.
I think I do want a bandana.
Okay, cool.
I'm not going to lie to you. I would love one.
Perfect. I'll add that to your package. I've got the perfect yarn for you. So yeah, I'm really excited to like, it's fun to kind of do something different. I'm so used to like in all of my downtime, just be like, okay, how much can I read? Got to squeeze in as much reading as I can so that I can read every single book in the world. Like that's kind of my normal mindset. And right now I'm like, I could read or I could just sit there and crochet. And
that's so funny because
it's nice.
It truly is the opposite of what my week has been.
I am so excited to hear about your week because I, in my head, I was like, is she actually going to do it? Like, Is she, am I going to show up and she'll have read 6 books or ye zero? I'm just so curious to see how your week went.
I know.
I did read a book, so that's pretty cool. But
okay, yeah. And of course, we're going to be doing a big reading update. But generally, I want to follow you on chatting about like the beginning of it's the first week of the year. Today is literally January 8th. And I feel like I've had a really good start to the year, slowly easing back into work. I'm lucky I work for myself, so I've just been like taking it easy and not like having to grind hard. But I was so happy when you texted me that you were starting your skating. Because I was like, this is awesome. Every year you want to skate and it's like end of the year and you're like, I didn't. It's dead.
Yeah, not but even this year, once. Like, it was just embarrassing.
Yeah, but this year, like first week of the year, you've already skated. And I similarly messaged you and I was like, oh, this is funny because I've also started working on my website for all of the bookshops in Nova Scotia. And I've already started. I've basically finished the website and I was like, all I have to do now is put in the list. Like I built the homepage. I drew a doodle. I did all this stuff. And it looks really, really cute. And then I was like, I just have to build a list. Oh, my God.
That's where the hard part comes in.
It's been a nightmare. And it's not even sourcing the list. It turns out that making a table on a website is not something that websites offer.
What?
I know, it's so odd. Squarespace, which I've been using, does not have a table feature.
Okay.
Like building a chart. You can't build a chart.
That's insane.
It's insane. And so I've been looking at all of these different, like embedding a Google sheet.
That's what I was just thinking,
But then it looks really bad and it still doesn't let you filter. It still doesn't let you like organize things by different things or copy things properly. So then I was like, okay, maybe I could embed a Notion sheet. Maybe I could, like I've actually spent nights on this trying to figure this out. Connor was trying to help me figure it out because obviously he's a software developer and he was like, this Squarespace is like not allowing these solutions. And I was like, so it's become a bigger challenge than I thought, which is a good reason. It's good that I started it now because it's going to take a while to figure out.
Might have to build a website from scratch just so you can have a table.
It turns out this is the year I learned to software develop because I needed to do it. But yeah, I also, the other biggish thing that happened was I quit Instagram. So we sort of talked about this a little bit in line with our goals because, both of us are looking to do that. And because social media is my job, it took me a little bit more effort to delete Instagram than I thought it was going to. So first of all, I realized, and my friend put this perfectly, I think it was Maureen actually, Connor's sister, put this perfectly, that like Instagram is sort of our modern phone book.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's such a good way to put it because when I hear about a restaurant, my first place I look it up is actually Instagram.
Oh, really?
I want to see like their latest meals and I want to see their hours on there and I want to see if they're active. It's so odd that that's where I check.
That is funny.
And one of my friends was like, I check Facebook. And I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. The other place I always go to is Google Maps. Like I'll like look if they're open, like what their hours are or whatever. But I don't usually go to their website. I like usually just go to Instagram.
It's funny,
Google Maps.
I go Google in order to find their website. That's the way I operate.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, yeah. But then if I hear about like a cool thrift store I want to check out, I go to their Instagram. Like that's the place that I go.
I see.
And obviously, especially for creators, if I like find a new creator that I like, I will go on their Instagram and I'll see what they're up to.
Makes sense.
And so because of that whole ecosystem, I was like, I do want people to find information.
Right.
Because this is basically just going to be a landing page for me for the year. People are going to visit it and find me. And then I'm like, I should link to somewhere.
Yeah.
And so it took me a while. I was like, I've got to build stories and highlights and like basically made it so it's a little landing page. But I'm happy with how it looks. Then I realized I didn't want to leave all of these people that had messaged me over the holidays on like red or whatever. So I was suddenly replying to all of these direct messages from people. Yeah. Because I didn't want anyone to like feel left out, so I was replying to everyone. And then finally, I was like, okay, now I'm quitting. And then I posted the photo, or whatever order it happened in, but I posted the photo. So I think I actually quit on January 2nd or 3rd,
okay.
That's fine. And now it's been almost a week of not being on the platform. And oh my God, my brain already feels so calm.
Right?
How are you feeling?
I feel great, yeah. I didn't really do like a big thing like you because I don't need to. Yeah. Like I don't need to, so I just kind of disappeared from Instagram. So if anyone's wondering, I don't think I'm going to make any kind of announcement actually on there. I'm just going to, I just have kind of stopped using it. And I deleted it before the new year. So I've been off it for like maybe 2 weeks now-ish. Yep. And I love it. It's great.
I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I already find myself not having that instinct to like open it. Like I still have it there on my phone uninstalled because I need to use it for the podcast. Like I need to do stuff on the Books Unbound Instagram every now and then, every week actually. So I will still be using it for that, but I will not be logging into my like personal account.
Yeah.
For the foreseeable future. I may go back to it eventually. Like, this isn't a forever 100% never using it again type of thing for me. It's just like, I need a break. Yeah. I need a break because, I just find myself, I open it like 20 times per day at least. Like, just like, oh, I have 2 seconds of boredom. Let's open it up. And stopping that habit is so important and so good. And I think very healthy because it makes me think like, okay, can I just be alone with my thoughts, or maybe I want to like direct that energy towards something else? So I've re-downloaded Duolingo. I'm learning Japanese again. I was learning Japanese a couple of years ago, and then I just stopped. And I'm so mad at myself because I could have known so much now. I could have been so good at it, but now I'm starting from scratch all over again. Yeah, but it's fun. It's nice to have something else I can do on my phone if I need to be on my phone, right?
Yeah, so, no, I totally, I feel you. And I have noticed a couple of times I've caught myself on YouTube shorts.
It's
and
the I'm same like, monster.
No!
I know, so, I opened up YouTube to look up roller skating videos. And the first thing that happened was it just opened straight to shorts. And I was like, ah, that's not what I want. Like, whoa, I just want to look up something specific. Why are you doing this to me? So like, they are trying to ruin us. All of these different platforms with their vertical videos.
Their vertical videos. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I mean, it's funny too because we're thinking of trying a bit of vertical video for the podcast, for the podcast YouTube. So I we're not fully against the thing. It's just when it's mindless, when it's just like
exactly scrolling when I'm doing it and I don't know why. That's the problem. Or I'm doing it to like escape from you know emotions that I could be facing or whatever.
Yes,
like, you know what I mean. No, like you're feeling kind of sad. Just scrolling feels like the right thing to do, but it's not. It's not.
No, it's not. You're not facing the thing. No, I think you're totally right. And to that point, it's felt really good, and it's felt really, it's like quiet in an interesting way. Like my brain is like, oh, you have time to think. Mm-hmm. And I feel a little more creative, and I feel a little bit more like the things that I'm thinking about them more deeply. And I've noticed I feel really tired. And I think that it's like my brain is resetting to this new way of existing. Yeah. I think also just the holidays were a little exhausting, but I just think my brain is a bit like, what are we doing?
It's kind of fun being like, what do I do now? Like, I feel like I have even more time than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Just from stopping Instagram. And I'm same with you. Like, I've been feeling more creative. Like, I'm like, should I try drawing? Should I paint? Like, what should I do?
Who am I?
Like, I have all these ideas of things I could try doing now because I'm just like accepting that I don't need to be reading all the time, which is one. Yeah. And then two, not going on Instagram. So all of a sudden I have all this like spare time and spare brain space that I have. And it's exciting.
Yeah, I have that spare time, but this is what's so great. It's a little different for me because all of the spare time that I have, I'm diverting to reading.
Yeah.
So maybe let's transition over and talk about our reading updates. All right. So I think if I interpreted some texts that you sent me correctly, you read two books really quickly and then you actually had to stop yourself from reading a little bit. Is that right or am I wrong?
No, not at all. I read one book and I'm now reading one that I'm not finished yet.
Okay, so tell us about your reading journey and how have you found trying to read less? Because if you didn't hear in the goals episode, Raylene this year is trying to read almost half of what she usually
reads. Less than
reads.
50 books is my specific goal, meaning I don't even want to read 50. It needs to be 49 or less, which is crazy. It really is causing me to slow down. And like I said, kind of in the first section of the podcast here, like I just want to do other things. And so I'm feeling good about it. Like I'm not feeling like, oh, I'm just sitting around doing nothing. And I'm like, you know, buying 100 books. And so I'm scared because I'm not reading any of them. Like I don't have any of that yet. Anyway, we'll see how the year goes. But as of right now, I feel really refreshed. And mm-hmm. I feel like happy to be reading more slowly and like spending more time with people and, you know, spending more time on different things that I neglected in the like in the past year. So I'm really enjoying the vibe of it so far.
Sweet.
But I'll start out by telling you about the book that I read, which knocks off a couple of goals, which is really exciting. So the first book I read this year was Sweet Bitter by Stephanie Danler. Stephanie Danler grew up in Seal Beach, California, and she moved to New York when she was 23, similarly to the main character in her debut novel, Sweet Bitter. In 2014, she sent the manuscript for this novel to an editor at Penguin, who was a regular at the cafe where she worked in New York. She also wrote the pilot episode of the television adaptation of her novel, and in 2020, she published a memoir called Stray. In 2022, it was announced that she would have a new novel forthcoming, Smog, which is set to be published in 2025. First of all, so glad I finally read this book. This is one that's been on my radar for a while, and I'm so glad you picked it for me. You always pick the right book for me at the beginning of the year. And it was great because it knocked off a couple of goals for me. This was on my 24 in 24 TBR, so it's one of the books from that, and it's also one of the lowest rated books on my shelf, so it knocked off a couple of my goals, which is great. And on top of that, a mashed potato book. So this book was, it was really good. I was really nervous going into it because it has really mixed reviews. Like, it has a really low average rating and a lot of people hate it. A lot of people complain that the characters are really pretentious, and I didn't really find that to be a problem at all. But for those who don't know, this book is about a 22-year-old woman named Tess who just like kind of drops everything to move to New York. She just like has everything that she owns packed into a car, and she just like gets a little place with a roommate and gets a job at a restaurant. She kind of shows up not knowing what she's going to do, and she ends up getting this job at a restaurant as a back waiter. And she, it's what I like about this book though, is that she doesn't go to New York with like grand aspirations like you often see. Like, usually in movies and books about New York, people are like, oh, I want to be an actress, or I want to do whatever. You know, everybody has some kind of dream. She just wants to live a bigger life than she was living before. And so she feels that moving to New York, moving to the big city, will just like give her a more interesting life. So that's like the reason she does it. And then she gets this job as a like as a back waitress, and then it becomes her dream to become a waitress. And she's like, I want to be a really good waitress. I want to be like the best I can be at this, because this is where I am right now. I just want to do everything I can to be good at this. So I found that really interesting, because you don't often see people with like smaller aspirations, I guess, in like New York-y books. So I really love that aspect. I also really liked throughout the first, I'd say like two-thirds of the book, the main character is unnamed. You don't know her name. It's on the back of the book, so I knew she had a name. I knew it wasn't like, you know, completely unnamed throughout, like My Year of Rest and Relaxation or something, but I just thought it was really interesting. I'm like, when are they going to reveal her name? And so she's kind of called like nicknames, or people just call her New Girl throughout the first beginning of the book. Yeah. And then the moment that she's finally named is kind of like, okay, this is a big moment. You're like part of the crew kind of thing. Like, it's when she's fully
part of the
accepted.
Ship, part of the crew. Yeah. Part of the ship, part of the crew.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So I thought that was an interesting kind of tool, which I was thinking about it while I was reading, but I was kind of like, does it mean something? Like, why does it
That's cool.
Name?
Yeah, I like
so
that.
It was really cool. And there's also some parts of the book that are kind of like, they're written almost like a poem. I can't even find one now, but it's just like a bunch of different characters will be like saying one line. And so it's like this big kind of like poetry looking page of just like one line after another. You don't know who's talking, you don't know who they're talking to, and it just kind of shows you like a glimpse into like a moment in the restaurant. It's just like so many different things are happening. It's kind of chaotic, so it really puts you in the mind space of a chaotic restaurant, which
That's
is really
so
cool.
Fantastic.
I just found it really fascinating. It also goes really deep into like how substance abuse is a huge thing in the restaurant world. Also, this is set in 2006, I think. That's another thing that I forgot to mention.
Okay.
So it's like only a few years after 9/11 in New York, so that's kind of mentioned as well. So it has a lot of like interesting things going for it, and it's very beautifully written. I would say for people who like beautiful writing, it's definitely written in kind of a poetic way at times. And it was just very interesting.
So why do you think it has such a low rating?
I don't know. I really don't understand it, because the characters are kind of like hoity-toity in a way. Like, they're really obsessed with wine. Like, one of the main characters starts becoming like really obsessed because one of the people who's been at the restaurant for 20 years or whatever is like this super knowledgeable person about wine. And so she's like, okay, I'm going to start studying. And so they're really like you know, I wouldn't call it pretentious, but like they just like know a lot about wine and like what, how to pair it with food and everything. And so they just care a lot about it. They have a lot of like care for food and for the things that they serve and all this kind of stuff. So I don't know, maybe that's annoying to people. Like, I don't know. I really liked it. And it's funny because I've heard from other people who really love the book too. They're like, what? I'm surprised that this is so like kind of universally disliked because a lot of people also love it. So yeah, I don't know. Just depends on the person, I guess, but I had a lot of fun with it. I wouldn't say it's a new favorite, but it's definitely like, I really liked it.
I'm really glad that you enjoyed that book because there is a little bit of pressure on picking the first book of the year. And so imagine if it had been a dud, much like the one you picked. No, I'm kidding. It wasn't a dud at all.
I don't even remember what I picked. Oh yeah, I remember now.
Yeah, so to answer your question, right, you were like, is Ariel going to do this thing? Is she going to show up with zero books read? No, I am not showing up with zero books read. I actually have two books to review.
Oh my God, yay.
Because on average, I'm going to have to read about two books a week in order to get 100 books read this year, obviously, 52 weeks in a year. And two books a week, that will amount to about 100, and there will be weeks where I read more and less, so we'll see how it all goes. And I've actually been thinking a little bit, like, if partway through the year, this is a little elaborate, but if partway through the year, I am a couple books behind, I am so committed to this goal and invested in making it happen that I would actually do like a little vacation somewhere local, like somewhere within Nova Scotia, but go to a little cabin or something where my whole point is just to catch up on the goal. That to me would be so lovely. That to me would be so wonderful. Like what a great way to spend my time and my money going on a little vacation to read more, but it would also be helping the goal out. So
totally. Nice anyway, that's alone. Just it's nice to get away.
Me, yeah, it's just me strategizing. But the book that you picked first, it worked out well. So, the first book I want to review is A Prayer for the Crown Shy by Becky Chambers. Becky Chambers is a sci-fi writer who lives in California with her wife. She is a two-time Hugo Award winner, a Locus Award winner, and has been nominated for the Nebula Award, the Arthur C. Clarke Award, and the Women's Prize for Fiction, among others. She's the best-selling author of the Wayfarer series and the Monk and Robot book series. A Prayer for the Crown Shy was published in July 2022. So I read the first book last year and I really enjoyed it. It was one of my top favorite books of the year. I thought it was so fun and also very unique. You and I both predict that there's gonna be like a big growth in this cozy sci-fi, cozy fantasy realm, but I forever will, you know, a Monk and Robot book, this duology will forever kind of be at the leading foredge of that. Like they really, these books really blew up, I think, and they're kind of leading the charge on this thing. So I really enjoyed the first book and it made it into my top favorites. This one I really enjoyed, but will not be making it into my top favorites. Like I think I don't know what else I could have expected from the book. So I'm not saying that it was a letdown. I don't think it is. And I think that if you liked the first book, you will enjoy the second book. It also picks up exactly right after the other one, which I was excited about because the other one basically is you have this tea monk who encounters this robot in a time when humans have not like had any interaction with robots for hundreds of years. They've been off living in the woods. Now we have this, the meeting of these two things, the humans and the robot. And now they're going to go on a, like a little adventure. And the robot basically has been picked by his robot kind to go and meet people and figure out what's been going on with people all this time.
Oh my God. Okay.
And that's where the first book ends. And then the second book picks up, they're going to meet the people. And I really enjoyed it. There was actually sections that were so like exciting and interesting and thought-provoking that I took the book to Connor, my boyfriend, and I was like, you have to read these three pages. Like, it's so interesting. Like, the first time the robot sees a baby, he's like, it's like a really interesting moment. So there was great little philosophical moments. There was really funny moments and really cute moments. However, I realized while reading this that I love the robot, and I slightly can't stand the monk. The human character is called Sibling Dex. They're a monk, a tea monk, who like goes around doing tea ceremonies. They're so negative and like, the robot is so innocent and so friendly and not naive, but very like humble and very open to the world. And I get that they're supposed to be quite different characters and one is supposed to like learn from the other. But I just found the monk to be so frustrating. And I was like, why are you responding that way? Why are you being kind of rude or like acting like, how do you not know what a baby is? And I'm like, why would the robot not know? Like, why would they know what a baby is? You know what I mean? Like, I just found them to be kind of cheesy and like a character that I encounter a lot in fiction and stuff where they're like the roll your eyes cool guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, sibling Dex, that's not you. Stop it.
You're actually not cool.
So yeah, I found it a little frustrating, but I still enjoyed the book a lot. And the question that I kept asking is this a duology or is it a trilogy? Yeah. Like, what's it going to be? And basically, Becky Chambers has said that they're leaving it at these two books for now. They're open to in the future writing more. But as of now, it's a duology.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you like the first book, I think you will like the second book.
Solid.
The other book I want to talk about, okay, so I haven't actually finished this one. I'm literally like 30 pages away from finishing, but I'm going to finish it right after we finish recording. And I was like, I'm so close to the end and it's a reread.
Oh, okay.
So I already have read it and I feel very qualified talking about it. It is The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Miss Marie Kondo. Marie Kondo is an organizing expert born in Osaka, Japan. She made Time 100's list of the most influential people in the world in 2015. She's the developer of the KonMari method, which has helped millions of people better organize their homes. The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up was first published in 2010. This is a perfect January reread.
It really is.
All right? If the people are out there and you're thinking, I've been meaning to reread it, just go now. Now. This is the time. So I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but whatever. I'm just going to say it. I have these little areas in my home that are full of stuff.
Uh-oh.
And I'm calling them like little nests because I couldn't even tell you what's in there.
Oh, no.
It's like hair ties, scrunchies, and it's Raylene's like literal worst nightmare. It's like a literal nightmare for Raylene. But it's just like the stuff that accumulates.
Yeah.
The items that accumulate. And she goes into depth about this. Like, she experiences this in every home that she goes to. It's like drawers of stuff that people don't even know what they are.
And the papers, man. Just the amount of paper, random paper people have.
The amount of papers,
it's
right?
Crazy.
And so basically, I'm at this point where I'm like, it's a perfect moment to like just tidy. And I've been meaning to do a big closet purge, and I did part of it the other day before reading this book. Actually, it was end of December time during Christmas break. I was like, I'm gonna go through all of my socks, all of my tights, all of like those garments, and just like purge. And I like sliced it in half. I was like, this sucks out of here. This sucks out of here. I don't wear you. I'm just throwing stuff out. And I was like, this is a great start. And then I'll do like the rest of the closet. And then whatever, the Christmas was busy. And here we are now. And then I was like, actually, I want to reread this book. So I'm rereading it. Oh my God. It's perfect timing because it's the beginning of the year. You're feeling so inspired to get yourself under control and like be the person you want to be.
Yeah.
And that's what she's doing. You know, Maria's like, you can do this. Here we go. Mm-hmm. You just have to be a little ruthless. And I love this book. I think it's such a great book. It definitely, upon reread, I'm like, this was written in 2010. Mm. There's like a couple of things that are a little outdated. Like, for me personally, she's like, with sentimental items, with cards, just thank the item and let it go. And I'm like, I wish, like, what I do is I take photos of stuff because I can take endless photos on my phone, and that helps me because sometimes I want to remember the thing, but I don't need the physical object to do that. So I can just take a digital photo. And I have actually gone back and looked at, like, I did a giant purge like a decade ago. Yeah. I think it was when I first read this book. And I took photos of a bunch of stuff that I wanted to get rid of, but like I still had a memory attached to it. And I've gone back to look at those photos and been like, oh my God, I'm so glad I took these photos because I don't need the physical object, but just having the photo. But she doesn't mention that. And she like, there's a whole section on CDs and DVDs.
And I'm like, yeah. Like for example, A Goodbye Things was a book that you got me that I read last year, the year before. And he talks about that more in that book. It's a little bit more modern. And it actually inspired me to go back and like, I actually went to my mom's house and scanned a bunch of old things that I had. I had three boxes full of stuff that my friends gave me, like all throughout our school years, we would like draw each other little comics and stuff like that. And so I had boxes of this stuff and I was like, I don't need the physical things. And so I just scanned it all and it was great.
Yeah.
It's all in a flash drive.
Yeah. I think it's so much better. So there's little tips like that that aren't in the book because it's from really before smartphones and digital cameras were so easy. Yeah. But then, and also there are a couple of things where I'm just like, it's feeling a little dated. I went on Chapters because basically I don't own this book anymore. I gave my copy to my dad. And he like, because they're in the midst of a big move, he doesn't have access to it right now. And I was like, I love this book. I'm going to rebuy it. So I just rebought this book. That. And I actually filmed a little clip for us all to enjoy. Hey, everyone. So I just pulled up to Chapters to get the life-changing magic of tidying up. And I remember my new habit I'm trying to start, which is I have this little wallet and I'm keeping it in my car with some gift cards because I always forget gift cards at home and I find it so frustrating. And I'll be at a shop and I'm like, I have a gift card for this at home. And so I've started keeping them in my car, which, you know, do I advise you do it? So far it's working for me, but obviously if someone were to break into your car, that would be, they would steal that. So warning, do what you want. However, I just thought, you know, I might have a Chapters card in there. And I do. I have a Chapters card and it has $30 on it. And I genuinely didn't know this. So I don't know how much the Maria Kondo book costs, but I can't imagine it costs $30. So I might have enough for another book. I genuinely didn't know that this was going to happen. And now this little trip is going to be even more fun. Okay, I have located the book. It looks great and it costs $20. So I have 10 to play with. Okay, I'm looking at the arts and letters section. As you guys know, my letters, my new love, and I found this book called Love Kurt, the Vonnegut Love Letters. I just opened up to a random page. Oh goodness. And it says, Dear Woofie, I'm truly sorry you can't come. It means, of course, that this party will be about 50% less fun than I had expected. I love it. The problem is that it costs $47, so that is not in our budget today. But cool to know it exists. Okay, I'm back in the car. I have the book, which is great, and I got it for free because I had that gift card. I really did look around and I had a lovely time looking around, but I didn't find anything that sparked joy, to quote Miss Marie Kondo. And so I didn't buy anything. So I still have a little money left on that gift card, which is great. But I also, God, it was one of those things at the end where I have a membership card there and it expired. And they were like, if you sign up now, but it costs $30, but we'll give you $20 in points. So I feel like I spent $30 that I didn't need to spend, but at the same time, I think I might have only spent 10. Anyways. So I just got this book and I got it for free basically, really, because I realized I had a gift card. Ooh, whoop, whoop, whoop.
That's so exciting.
That was great. But it's so funny how picking this up, I instantly felt happy. Like it's the exact same hardcover version that's always been out. And yeah, I'm loving the reread. I'm really enjoying it. There's so many great things. One of the things that like I've clung onto for a decade and literally told other people about is the whole idea of like her little philosophy on gifts, gifts should never be a burden. Like when somebody gave you the gift, the actual moment of the gift giving, That's the gift. The beautiful moment you have when someone gives you something to say, I love you, and I've been thinking about you, and I spent my money on you, and you're receiving it, and you're thinking, this person loves me, and I'm so grateful, and this is so beautiful. That was the moment of the gift. The part afterwards where you don't use it, you don't like it. Yes. It's just taking up space. You feel guilty for not using it. You feel guilty that you're hiding it. It feels like a burden because you never know where to put it. Mm-hmm. She's like, all of that, the person that gave you the gift would not want you to be experiencing that.
Yeah.
They just give it away, thank it for the moment that you had, and move on. And that stayed with me. And rereading it, I'm like,
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know sometimes I need a reminder. I do think about that all the time. But as soon as I have, like, I remember that, which is the giving of the gift is the moment that matters.
That's the moment.
You're right.
It's so fantastic. It really is so fantastic. And she has all of these little things and tips. And, you know, she's talking about papers. She's like, why are you keeping credit card statements? Once you've confirmed that, and again, I've switched to digital, so I don't even get those. But it's just the idea of these things that you're like, no, you know what? You're totally right. The funny part is the book section. She has a really intense section about how you should only have 30 books and give it away, blah, blah, blah. But I've heard people get pretty angry at her about that. And I'm like, okay, but I remember later on in the book, she has a little word on collections. She's like, everyone has a collection of something.
Exactly.
That's an exception. Yeah. And if your collection is like really important to you, then obviously you don't throw that away. And I'm like, right, our collection is books.
Like normal people don't have more than 30 books. You know, people who aren't like book people wouldn't have
that
many books. So that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So it's full of great tips and ideas. And when you're reading it, you don't have to take every single thing she said to heart. But I find so many gems and things that I'm really going to keep with me. And I think it was just a perfect time to reread it. So really enjoyed this reread. And like I said, I only have like 30 pages left. So I'm going to finish that today. And then I will be on track of reading my 2 books a week, basically thing. Let's talk about what we're currently reading. What are you currently reading, Ray?
Yes, ma'am. So the book I'm reading is kind of random, but also still makes sense and works. This is my first book club book of the year with my friends.
Okay.
And we're going to be meeting at the beginning of February to talk about it. So I could have waited to read it, but I just decided to read it now. And that book is Stoner by John Williams.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So this one is kind of random, but it works because it's a classic. So it's going to be keeping my average year down. It's going to keep that a nice low number for now. So between my two books, I think I'm at like 1995 is my current average of publication.
I saw a comment from someone who was really frustrated that you're doing the average. They think you should do the mean because they're like, you could just read like the Iliad and then everything else that you read could be from 2022.
But I'm not going to do that.
But you're not going to do that.
Exactly. If I could get through the Iliad, gosh, that would be I would be a different person. I think the oldest book that I would possibly read would be Anna Karenina. And that's even that, like, I don't think I'd be able to only read 2023s and it would still, like, I think it would come back up. But yeah, no, that is a funny comment.
Funny.
I do. It's also to kind of like cut myself some slack. Like, I don't want to be too hard on myself by being like, oh, you have to read only books from 1902 or whatever. Like, that's not what I want to do. That's funny though. I do like that. It's a solid criticism. But anyways, so this book, I'm about 2/3, 3/4 of the way through. I'll probably finish it this week, but who knows? We'll see. I'm reading so slowly now. But this book is about a man named William Stoner. So that's why it's called Stoner. I always wondered about that. I'm like, what is that all about? But yeah, so it's this guy. And at the very beginning of the book, it starts out, the first paragraph literally is saying that he wasn't a very remarkable person. He like lived a normal life and then died. And he like worked at this university and not a lot of people who were there like remember who he was, all that kind of stuff. So you get this picture that he's just like this average Joe kind of dude. And so the whole book is kind of just following his life. So you follow him when he's a teenager kind of finishing high school, and his family, it's just him and his parents, and they have a farm. And so it's kind of expected that he will just continue working at the farm, you know, and take over for his parents when they stop working. But his dad and his mom are like, you're smarter than this. Like, you could go to school if you really want to. And they're like, he's like, but we're poor. There's no way that that's going to happen. And they're like, just do whatever it takes to make it work. Like, we want you to go to university and do whatever you need to do there. And he's like, okay. And so he goes and he starts out trying to get like an agricultural degree, but he discovers English literature and he falls in love with it and becomes obsessed. Yeah. So he kind of pivots and takes his life in a different direction and ends up becoming a teacher at the university, like becomes a professor and all this stuff. So it's a very like academia based book, I would say. Like a lot of it takes place either at a university or it's him thinking about working as a teacher. So that's like a big thing in this book. And I would say it's sort of just fine for me. This is a book that's like beloved by almost everyone who reads it. Like, it's people really, really love this book. And I can't say that I'm like understanding why yet.
Okay.
But I just have kind of entered into this next chapter that I'm going into, which is like the last third. And it just got a little bit juicy. So something happened that was like, okay, I'm actually like excited to see what happens next.
Yeah, interesting.
So we'll see how it goes. But all in all, I think it's a solid read. But if it sounds appealing to anyone, it is it's like beautifully written, very poetic, you know, all the sentences have meaning and all this kind of stuff. So I'd say that I understand why people love it. It's maybe just not necessarily for me, but I think it's a solid book anyway.
Cool.
I'm not disliking it at all. So yeah.
Interesting choice. Yeah, I didn't know that was on your docket.
Isn't that so random? Yeah, I'll be diving back into things that make sense probably next week.
All right. Well, I wanted to mention, by the way, that I'm reading a lot on my e-reader because you mentioned, what are you doing on your phone in the in-between moments? You're going on Duolingo.
Yeah.
I have been abusing and loving Libby because Libby is on my e-reader and it's on my phone. Mm-hmm. And so... like with the life-changing magic of tidying up, I have three versions of this book on the go, but it only cost me one version, right? Because I'm getting this from the library as well. So that was I just wanted to mention that because if people are like, how did you read it if you only bought it today? That's because I've been reading it on my e-reader.
Yeah, that's a good tool to use.
And I'm actually, one thing that I'm definitely going to do, and it sounds a little bit like overkill, but I really am wanting to take a lot from this book, is I've been highlighting stuff on my phone and on the e-reader. I'm going to go through those highlights and actually underline them in my physical version because that will like be a nice little remembering, like, oh yes, yep, okay, we're at the end. I finished reading it. And now I'm going over my favorite points. These are the things I really want to synthesize in my little brain.
Yeah, that's cute.
So that's fun. Anyways, the other book that I've been reading this week, I'm actually like over halfway through it. So I'm very happy with my week one progress. but that book is Feel Good Productivity by Ali Abdaal. So he's a YouTuber that I've been watching for, I don't know, a few years now. He's was a doctor, you know, a medically trained doctor in the UK. And then he kind of shifted his career into being a YouTuber. But his content is not about being a medical doctor at all. It's about productivity and about like living your life to the fullest and living the life that you want to live. That kind, you know, that genre of content, lifestyle, like productivity content. And he released this book called Feel Good Productivity. And I'm just so curious about it. I really enjoy his videos. So I was like, I'll give this a shot. And I got it on Libro FM, our favorite Libro FM. By the way, if you want an audiobook, get two for the price of one using our referral code in the description. So I have been listening to this on audiobook and I'm really enjoying it. And again, perfect time to be reading a book about productivity.
It's inspiring you,
It is. It's very motivational, inspiring, and positive. And it's like, you can be very productive while also being joyful and happy. And a lot of the studies that he's quoting are things about how, like, the happier you are, the more productive you are, and the more joy that you find in your activity that you're doing, whether that's work or whatever, the more joy you're having in it, the more creative you are about it. People that are having fun, like, usually think up better solutions and more versions of answers and stuff like that. So I'm enjoying that. But that is my audiobook thing. Now that I have finished A Prayer for the Crown Shy, which I also, by the way, mainly read on my e-reader.
Look at you.
I think my e-reader is going to be huge to me reading 100
books.
Because
it's easy to bring with you places. It's easier than
easy to bring with me everywhere. Yeah. Also, so easy to read at night because it's got the backlighting on it. Huge game changer. Love the e-reader. But now that I finished A Prayer for the Crown Shy and The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, I'm not sure what my physical book is going to be next. So that'll be fun to
That's
figure
crazy.
Out.
Book number four. You're already thinking about book number four. That's so exciting.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. I'm
Look
really
at me
proud
go.
Of you. You're doing great.
Thanks, Raylene. Well, that brings us to our final segment of the day, which CJ thinks we should call the mail room. Ooh. And I like it. Okay. What do you think?
I think that's fine.
I said we were going to call it, we should call it the fax machine.
Sure.
That doesn't make much sense. So I think we'll go with the mailroom because it's classy and accurate. Mm-hmm. So basically, we want to start doing this occasionally in episodes where we pull out some comments that you guys have sent us via the many ways that you can send us comments. We're always getting messages and stuff from you guys. And we read them, but we thought it'd be fun to highlight some of them.
Yeah.
So, Raylene, how about you start us off?
Yeah, so I pulled comments from our Discord and our Patreon. So these are kind of like patron-specific things, but not necessarily. Yeah. These are just things that have come our way. So the first one is actually one that I texted to you yesterday, but I thought I'd give it a shout out. This one is from Hannah K, who found another book of letters that might be of interest to you. The Letters of Flannery O'Connor, The Habit of Being is the full title, selected and edited by Sally Fitzgerald. So
cool.
Another cool collection of letters from a famous writer. So that's very cool.
Yeah. And then definitely want to look at that one.
Yeah. But then this was a fun little thing I pulled from, for those who aren't part of our Patreon or our Discord, we have lots of different channels and people talk about all sorts of different things. So we have one that's just called Hobbies. And I have never really looked in there, but I looked in there yesterday and one of our patrons, M's Coolstar on Discord, put a cute little, there's like this little reindeer that she was crocheting.
Oh my God, it's
these
adorable.
Cute little reindeers. You can't really see it on the camera, but you'll have to go into the Discord if you want to see that. But it's just very cute. And I made me inspired to crochet more things. And I thought it's fun. They love talking about crochet in there. So I thought that
that's
was fun
so
and worth shouting out. And
for
then
sure.
That's it from Discord, actually. Oh, no, wait, I had one more from Discord. So this one is from Adrian. And I actually really like this one because it kind of backpacked on some of the things we were talking about in that our most recent episode. So Adrian just says, is anyone else in their mid-30s? This episode is making me think a lot about these last 5 to 6 years. I left my toxic job for a better one, rediscovered my love of reading and made it a priority, bought some Lego sets just for me, started roller skating again, and in general, looking for new hobbies that I love. I do think your 30s are really freeing and time to shove off the expectations of others. I've definitely connected with myself more and prioritized what is important to me in life. And I thought
love that,
that was just really nice because that's us.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing
that's
right
us.
Now. We're figuring out
I've heard a
what
lot of people yeah I've heard a lot of people say that your 30s are the time for like returning to things that you used to love and that fell away because of grinding in your 20s and like returning to those hobbies and stuff that you really love. So I love that.
I feel like it's true and it's great, and I feel like it's what we're starting to do, which is nice. Okay, and then I've got a couple comments from our Patreon.
Cool.
So I think these are mostly just from our most recent episode, but also some of our bonus videos. Actually, I pulled some from our bonus videos. So one, though, that came from our patron, Haley. She just says, I totally forgot to add in my favorite quote for merch suggestions, but I just remembered, it's not a problem, it's a passion. Raylene 2023. And I was thinking, that is kind of great. That could go on a t-shirt for sure.
Books, yeah. Books.
I think that was
not
on our
a,
Patreon
it's
survey.
Not a problem. It's passion.
And then, somebody, or Emily commented on a video that you put up most recently, which was a bookshelf tour. So shout out to the bookshelf tour if anybody wants to watch that. It's on Patreon. Emily just said, loved this video so much. Also dying to know why you have two identical copies of The Secret Life of Bees. So I just thought we could ask you that live on the podcast.
Oh, that is one of the most controversial... Yeah, no, that's a big one. So basically, good Lord, when I was like, well, you don't know the can of worms you just asked me. When I was like 13 or 14, my mom bought me that book.
Yeah.
And just on a whim, she'd heard about it on a TV show and she'd heard that it was really good and she thought that I would like it. And so I read it and I did like it. It was a great book. It's a great book. And then a couple years later, a friend of mine, a BookTube friend of mine, gifted me that book. Like, I guess she didn't know that I already had it. But she gifted me a very different looking copy. Not the movie tie-in version.
Yeah.
And similarly, I was like, why would I have two copies of this book on my shelf? I only need one. And I had this really stressful moment in my life where I was like, do I pick the one that my mom gave me or the one that this like cool friend online mm-hmm. gave me? And in the end, I decided to keep the one that the friend gave me because it was going to be visible on my bookshelves. Yeah. And she was a BookTube person. And I was like, what if she sees it? And what if she thinks yeah. I didn't keep it? Like, it was honestly really stressful. So I ended up donating the one that my mom gave me. Instantly knew it was a mistake
yeah.
and spent the next few years feeling really guilty about it. No. And me and that person aren't not even close anymore. Right. And I just felt like what a mistake that was. And so I was like, okay, first of all, I need to donate that copy because I don't even care that much about this book.
Right.
But I also like, I'm not even really friends with that person anymore.
Oh, man.
So I donated that book and then I was on the lookout for the copy that my mom gave me because mm-hmm. that's what I wanted on my shelves. So I found the book in a thrift shop. And it's funny because basically that exact movie tie-in edition wasn't being published anymore.
Right.
They have like a different version now. And I wanted the OG version that I had. I finally found it in a thrift store and it was a little ratty, but I was like, that's fine. This is the copy that I want.
Yeah.
I got it. And then literally 2 days later, I found a better copy.
No.
And I just put them on my shelves and I'm like, this book is so stressful. I'm just going to keep them both. I don't know what to do anymore.
That's funny. I didn't realize you'd had a total of 4 copies.
I've had a lot of copies of that book.
That is really funny. I'm glad that I asked the question because that was an interesting story.
I feel like all is right in the world now. I feel like I went back to my roots and keeping my mom's copy was what I should have done in the first place. But mm-hmm. now I'm back there. And when I see that book, it reminds me of my mom buying me this book, which, my mom, especially at the time, didn't speak as much English either. And so the fact that she like had watched a show in English, understood that she thinks I would like the book, went out and bought the book for me.
Yeah, that's really
the whole
thoughtful.
Thing makes me want to cry, actually. So let's move on.
Okay. My final comment I have is in response to a video that I put up on our Patreon where I talked about the 24 books that I want to read in 2024.
Oh,
so that's up there. If anybody wants to know my full TBR, it is on there. I really thought this was a funny comment. There were a lot of people who were supportive about my goal to read Anna Karenina. Olivia is really telling it like it is, though, and I appreciate this. Mm. So from Olivia, she says, ooh, thanks, Raylene. This has inspired me to, for part of my own reading goals. I absolutely love Anna Karenina, and I do think it's very readable, but I don't know if it would be your sort of book. It's pretty slow paced and Tolstoy can be a bit meandering with all the different storylines and getting his own philosophies across. If you can get past that, it is really beautiful and brilliant. But knowing how you felt with Rebecca, which I also love, I wonder if you might find it a bit boring.
Mm.
Props for getting it on there, though, and good luck. So, yes, I do fear that I might not like it. And if that happens, I will DNF it. I am not scared to DNF it. I'm going to give it a fair shot. If it's too much or if I don't like it, I'm just going to stop reading it. But I'm really hopeful that I'm going to like it. I feel
you
like
attempt it.
I feel like it's gonna be scandalous, like juicy romance. I feel like it could be good. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, I pulled some comments from our YouTube videos. I just scrolled through the last few eps and pulled out a couple comments. The first one, I also texted you this one when it came in 6 days ago. It says, this was from Angela Luce 405. Is this a Freaky Friday moment or what? I'm so stoked to see how these goals pan out. And it's a perfect way to put it because this year we're basically trying to switch.
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to calm down on the reading and do more life adventure stuff. I'm trying to hone on the reading and read way more than I usually do. So we've really switched our goal amounts.
We did, yes.
I love that. All right, then we got this comment. This was 13 days ago from Pharaoh and Blanco, please share the spreadsheet. This was from our yearly wrap-up episode.
Yeah.
She says, I love keeping track, but there's a lot to keep track of. Been listening to your podcast the last couple years. You've become my favorite cozy hope of inspiration to reading. So it was like a really nice comment. But then thankfully, two other people replied. Someone was like, they've shared it a couple of years ago. I think it's still on their website. And somebody else commented. Yeah. I found it. If you go to their website, which is linked in their description, and go to stuff, it's the first thing listed.
Oh,
so
perfect.
I thought I'd, the people really came in for us, but I did think I'd shout out if you were wondering what spreadsheet we use, we have that linked on our website for everyone, because we used to get a lot of people asking, yes, like, can we have the spreadsheet?
Yeah.
Okay, we got this comment from Lou 2 weeks ago. Has anyone heard about silent book clubs? The concept is reading together, but not necessarily the same title. Mm. So you meet with people, have a chat, basically read different books at the same time. The way it works is to have themed reading. For example, the theme for this month is work. Everyone reads a book following that theme using their own interpretation, and that's where the discussions come from. So that makes so much sense to me, because you still have a theme that you're all talking about. Yeah, we're all talking about work, really, and what does that mean in your book? What do you think? So it's still, you can still have the discussion part,
yeah,
but it's not about reading the same book.
I love that. And actually, Stoner, that I'm reading right now, is a book, yeah, that's kind of about work. So I'm kind of participating without participating.
Yeah, and my feel-good productivity is also that.
Look at us.
Okay, the other one I had is from Meg. She says, ladies, what you need is a literary society. I started one with my city library after listening to a What Should I Read Next episode. That is another book podcast. Mm. We meet to mingle and chat about books we've been reading or want to read. There's always a couple of buddy groups, buddy reads and group reads going on, and we have a few new releases reads every year and organized reading for Canada Reads and the Giller Prize. So like, there seems like there is some book club-y stuff going on, but yeah, mainly it's more of a literary society.
I like that.
So I like this as some suggestions for alternative ways to do a book club, yeah, if reading a book club book is a little stressful to you.
Very cool.
Well, it was fun.
That was
fun. It was nice getting to hear from everyone. Yeah. Thank you always for interacting with us everywhere. So we are now going to go and record The Movie Tub, our mini podcast where we talk about the movies we've been watching. And I've got a great movie. I want to talk about The Holdovers. Have you heard of that one?
Is that the one with Paul Giamatti, or is that something,
yes,
else?
Yes.
Okay.
Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, I've not
so
seen it.
So I'm going to be reviewing that, and Raylene's going to be talking about some movies. But the other exciting thing that I wanted to mention here is that I have finally finished the Animal Farm audiobook. So, I know, it's huge.
Celebration,
it's huge,
and fanfare.
So, over a year ago, the main perk that we had on our Patreon was that Raylene was releasing monthly a chapter of The Great Gatsby, and I was doing the same with Animal Farm, and I just totally fell behind on it. It became the most stressful thing in my entire life, yeah, trying to catch up, and I just did the thing where you get really stressed and you avoid the task,
yeah,
but finally, I have finished it. So, two things. One, if you want to become a new patron and you want to hear those audiobooks, they are there. You can listen to Raylene read The Great Gatsby, and you can listen to me read Animal Farm. You just have to sign up to our Patreon. And remember, you could just sign up for 1 month listening to those two audiobooks, yeah, and then leave. So, if that's what you'd like to do. The second thing, though, is if you were a patron because you wanted to listen to those audiobooks and you like, I didn't finish it in time while you were still a patron, just shoot us an email at booksunboundpodcast@gmail.com. Use the subject line Animal Farm audiobook, and we will send you the file, because obviously you deserve that file and we're happy to send it to you. So just give us an email and we will follow up with that.
Yep.
There you go. All right, we're going to go record the mini podcast. We're so excited to be doing the podcast this year. It's going to be great. And yeah, I'm already proud of us, Raylene, and I feel like we're doing our goals already.
I think so too. We're doing awesome.
We're doing great. All right, we'll talk to you guys in next week's episode. Bye.